And it says, this know also that in the last days, that word last there is a word eschatos, from which we get a big word called eschatology, which means the doctrine of last things. And that's what the word means if you've ever seen the booklet out there called Eschatology and End Time Events Prophecy. That's what the word last means. It says in the last days. Now, I personally believe we're living in the last days. It begins to describe what the last days are like, and the first thing it says is perilous times shall come. And now we have man described. What will man be like on the earth just before Jesus Christ comes back again? Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now notice in this long, long, long list of descriptions of what people are going to be like in the last days, did you notice that word right there is missing? Did you notice that? That word's missing. Now that's what God wants us to be. But that's not in the list. It doesn't say in the last days people are going to be humble. It says the very opposite. And that's our theme this year. So we're going against nature this year by trying to learn about humility. We're going against the times. We're going against prophecy. We're going against eschatology. But remember, brethren, this is a description of the world. We are told in Romans 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible says don't be conformed to this world. The word conform in Romans 12, 2 that I just quoted means to fashion one's mind or character to another's pattern. To fashion one's mind or character to another's pattern. So don't fashion your mind or your character to another's pattern. The pattern of people in the last days will be one of pride. Don't fashion your mind to their pattern. Don't fashion your character to their pattern. In other words, don't say, well, everybody else is proud, I might as well be proud. No, the Bible says don't do that. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That's the word metamorphosis in the original language. It speaks about an ugly little worm going into a cocoon and spinning the cocoon and then through a tremendous struggle. It gets its strength and beauty, and it comes out of the cocoon. It's a beautiful monarch butterfly or whatever kind of butterfly it is. That's a transformation. That's metamorphosis. It says, be ye transformed. Be ye completely changed from the ugly character and shape of the people of the world into a beautiful person that God wants you to be. There's really not much more beautiful than a person with a humble spirit. Than a meek spirit. When God works on us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible says he makes all things beautiful in his time. And we're told in the Bible that humility and holiness are beautiful things. Those are the beautiful people of the world, and not those that have skin-deep beauty, but those that have a meek and a quiet spirit on the inside. Notice that almost every description here of man in the last days is the opposite of humility. Almost everyone is the opposite of humility. It says in the last days, perilous times shall come. Humble people do not cause anyone peril. Pride brings contentions and fightings, not humility. Humility brings a person the ability to be meek and to allow God to fight their battles for them. Verse 2 says, lovers, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, that's the opposite of humility. I want to give you a definition for humility. I don't know if I've ever said this or verbalized this before. You might want to write it down. You might want to repeat it over and over and over again in your life so that we can try, by God's grace, to humble ourselves and to attain to it. If we're pursuing humility, we ought to know what we're pursuing. And write this down. It is the constant state of thinking about God and others. That's all humility is. Humility is the constant state of thinking about God and thinking about others. Humility is the constant state of thinking about God and thinking about others. But men in the last days shall be what? Verse 2, lovers of their own selves. That's the direct opposite of what humility is. Lover, have you ever met anyone who's a lover of their own self? They're everywhere. But we're not supposed to pattern or fashion our character, our mind, after their pattern. The next word says covetous. What is that? That's the love of money, the love of things. So people in the last days are going to have their love life all messed up. They're going to love themselves, they're going to love money, they're going to be boasters, they're just going to brag about how great they are, selfish, self-centered. And then the next word is what? Proud. Proud. Now that's the opposite of humility. So notice, humility is not in this list. And brethren, I think this thing about pride right here in verse 2 is just going to make this world we live in worse. And worse, and worse, and worse, and worse. Pride goeth before destruction. I'm going to show you just a couple things this morning, what pride does to somebody. And all this year, I'm going to try to give you different results of pride, what symptoms of pride in a person's life, what comes out. It makes for the ugliest people. Pride does. Now, we were all taught, growing up, it was a virtue. Be proud you're American, be proud of your accomplishments, be proud of yourself. Well, we were taught all wrong. That's why we come to church. That's why we have the scriptures. It says in the Bible here, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Look at verse 16. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for what? For correction. It corrects us. It corrects us. We've been taught all of our life, be proud of yourself. Be proud of your accomplishments. Be proud of who you are, and so on. The Bible says, the Bible itself corrects us. It corrects our thinking. If anything, we ought to be just grateful for what God has done through us and give Him the glory. The word proud here in verse 2 means that men in the last days, it means showing oneself above others, being preeminent, being first, overestimating one's worth or merit to the point of thinking oneself better than others. That's what pride is. And there is no room for pride in the believer in Jesus Christ. But as you go down through this prophecy, you see that missing. You don't even see that close. And not one description of people in the last days is it close to humility. You know, we're told, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Pride is worldliness. Pride is worldliness. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. I want to prove that to you. Pride is worldliness. In 1 John 2:15 it says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is what? See, he's got a problem with his love life. Just like back in chapter 3, we saw a problem with their love life. Lovers of their own self, loving money, loving, boasting, proud. I didn't bring it out too much. Verse 4 said, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's the description of men in the last days. We love pleasure more than God. This is worldliness. Verse 16. See, the problem, if we love the world, we have a problem. What is it? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Doesn't mean he's not saved. Doesn't say salvation's not in him. It's just that he has not grown and increased in his love towards the Father. Verse 16, for all that is in the world. Now it's going to describe here what worldliness really is. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what? The pride of life. The lust of the flesh, that's the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's possessions, pleasure, and power. The power over our own lives. The failure to resign our lives and submit our lives to the ownership of God. That's what the pride of life is. The pride of life. When we say, it's my life, it's not God's, I own it, nobody can tell me what to do with it. That's pride. That's worldliness. And the Bible says this is how people will be in the last days. But verse 17 warns us, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we would be wise... we would be wise to turn our backs on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and humble ourselves before God, and find out what His will is, for he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I've tried to explain this before, and I don't know if I'm ever successful, but see, from the time that you and I are saved, God begins a new account. Prior to that, the account was sin. And then we get saved, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And the Lord never imputes to the believer sin anymore. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Romans 4, he stops writing sin. And he starts writing, rather, our works from the moment he saved us till the day we die, or till the day the rapture takes place and Christ comes for us in the clouds in the air. And he begins to write down our works, whether we did our works in sin, or whether we did our works in the flesh to ourselves, or whether we did our works unto God in a right motivation. Now that whole life recorded while we were saved is going to be tried in 1 Corinthians 3, we're taught, by the fire, God's refining fire in heaven. That's not a fire that has anything to do with hell or the lake of fire. That's a refining fire to see at the judgment seat of Christ what part of our life is going to last and remain forever. The only part of our life that is going to be remembered forever is that part that we have done in the will of God. For instance, in the 37 years that I have been saved, there was about 3 or 4 years where I just lived completely in sin as a backslider. In a carnal life. I believe that whole season of my saved life will be thrown in the fire at the judgment and poof, it will be gone up in smoke and nothing from that 4 years will ever be remembered. Pretty dumb, wasn't it? Pretty dumb. But the seasons I have served the Lord, or you have served the Lord, and done God's will, and God's will has been the heartbeat of your life, that will be tried in the refining fire. And whatever we have done from God, in God's will of our life, will abide the fire, and then the Lord will read the account of whatever lasts, and will say, okay, now let's reward him or her according to what they did in my will. That's what verse 17 means. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So are you doing God's will? Now, I know we can't understand this, but eternity is a long time. And this earth isn't. This life is described as a vapor that appears for a little time and then disappears. So the wisest thing to do would be to give up this life and find God's will for your life and do it. But pride is the enemy of that. The pride of life is worldliness. The pride of life is the failure of someone to submit ownership of themselves to God. And it's worldly. Pride is worldly. Pride defiles a person. Look at Mark chapter 7. Just a couple points here about pride. We'll learn a lot of them this year, but I want to kind of teach them slow. Because we need, I guess the word is, to be reprogrammed or transformed by the renewing of our mind. Let's let Jesus speak to us. He says in Mark chapter number 7 and verse 20, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth not the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, and what's the next word? Pride, foolishness. Now, notice this. All these evil things. See, pride is not a virtue. It's an evil thing, according to Jesus Christ. It's an evil thing. All these evil things come from within and do what? Defile the man. So pride defiles a person. See, before a person commits adultery, for instance, they first of all think it in their heart. Before a person blasphemes, it's because they have blasphemed in their heart. Out of the heart, the man speaks. Lasciviousness and wickedness and thefts. Verse number 22, before someone goes out and steals something, they scheme it in their heart first. That's the same thing with pride. Pride comes from within. Pride is called by Jesus Christ an evil thing that defiles a man. This word pride, again, is a swollen estimate of our own power or merits or worth. Pride is a swollen estimate of our own power. Oh, I got control of my own life. Yeah, wait till some sickness hits you. Or an accident. Things happen. That kind of humble people. You know, we need to humble ourselves before the things happen. And just say, you know, I don't have complete power over my life. God is in control of my life. It's a swollen estimate of our own power, our own merits, or our own worth. I'm pretty good. I'm really worth a lot. No, no. These defile a man. Now, this word defile means to be unclean, to be polluted, to be profane. We are a defiled people if we have pride in our hearts. And what kind of people are going to be on earth in the last days? Proud. A lot of defiled people on earth. Defiled. God looks upon the proud as a profane, polluted, unclean person. We need to let the Word of God affect us. I'd like you to turn now to Proverbs 8 and verse 13. I want everyone to see this verse. In fact, I'd like us to read it out loud together. Because this is an attitude, a Holy Ghost attitude adjustment in us that would help us all. We need to capture the spirit of this verse, of Proverbs 8 and verse 13. Let me read it first. It says this, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate." So the fear of the Lord, if we're going to be really God-fearing people like we should hate evil, not embrace it. We should hate evil, not flirt with it. The fear of the Lord will cause us to hate evil. And then there's a colon, and the writer here, Solomon, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, defines for us what evil is. Pride. That's evil. It's not a virtue, it's evil. Arrogancy. And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Read that out loud with me once. Ready? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Now, we don't hate pride today. We embrace it. That is the world. That's how Paul said it would be in the last days. Men would be proud, blasphemers, covetous, lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We read those things. But this is the attitude we need to capture. We need to get to the place where we hate pride. You see that? I just wanted to read that out loud today because I wanted to stand before God someday at the judgment and say, Lord, I had them read it. I had them read it. I don't know if their attitude changed by it or not, but I had them read it. The fear of the Lord. Do we fear God today? If we fear God, and we ought to. In fact, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We can't walk in wisdom until we start by fearing God. What will it cause us? It will cause us to hate evil. And one of the evils that will cause us to hate is pride. Now, I've learned to hate pride. I still have it. I hate it, though. I think I have a lot less of it than I used to. And I'm trying to gain more humility. But I hope we can embrace this. We need the Holy Spirit to do it. Not only is a proud person defiled, but they are also deceived. Go to the New Testament book of Galatians 6 and verse 3. Galatians 6 and verse 3. This is again one of those verses that it's almost impossible to live up to. We're going to talk here a little bit about delusion. There's a lot of delusional people. I remember growing up thinking I was going to go to the Olympics. I was pretty fast, you know. And I got to seventh grade, and this kid beat me in a foot race, and I never did beat him. Just kind of dissolved that delusion. But you know, Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, one of the things God expects us to do when we grow up and become men and women is to put away these delusions based on pride, where we think we're something when we're nothing. Now, one verse that has helped me, I got a long way to go, is Galatians 6 and verse 3. It says right here, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. The word deceiveth there refers to delusion. See, proud people are people living in delusion. Some might ask, well, how can I have humility? It's very easy. Just believe what the Bible says about you. That's all. Just believe. Faith. That's the way we overcome everything. Faith, right? Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. And worldliness is pride. Just believe what God... Now, let me read this again and just believe it. If a man thinketh himself to be something... Now, listen to these next four words. When he is nothing. Now, if you just put your faith in God's word right there, God, I'm nothing, you said it. That's humility. That's humility. See, the way to overcome humility is by faith. Just say, well, and that's just one verse. I can show you a bunch of verses in this Bible that do not draw a very good picture of Art Cole. All right? This book really beats me and batters me and pounds me into the ground. But that's a good thing. The humble life's the better life. We talked earlier this year all the things humility can give you, like riches and honor and health and life and so on. What does pride do for us? What does pride do for us? Only by pride cometh contentions. Proverbs 16:18 says what? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now that's not too wise, is it? Well, I'm going to be proud of myself. And then somebody says, okay, now that's going to lead you to destruction. God knows how to humble people. I was talking to a family last year, last summer, and they had a very, very proud daughter, very proud, very heady, very high-minded daughter. She was 17. And she just thought the whole world revolved around her and her beauty and all the attention boys were giving her. The whole world just revolved around her, and she didn't like her mom and dad anymore because they were, you know, interfering with her whole world and so on. And then she just was in a vicious, wicked car wreck. And these parents who still are not yet believers, but they mentioned to me in conversation how this is wrong with it, this is wrong. She's going to have to live with this now the rest of her life, and with this now the rest of her life. And you know, I said, well, has anything good come out of this? And they said, the attitude our daughter has, where she's 18 now, and now she appreciates mom and dad. She appreciates every life, the life she has. She appreciates every breath she takes now. She appreciates every heartbeat. And though she'll limp the rest of her life, she appreciates the fact that she's even mobile. And things she never saw before, humility has brought to her and has enriched her life. This can happen to all of us. It can enrich our lives if we'll embrace humility. If a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Pride deceives a person. Turn to Obadiah chapter 1, if you can. Old Testament, Obadiah chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to read it for time's sake. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? See, that's pride that elevates a person. Let me tell you who the who is. God. God can bring every one of us down to the ground. But he doesn't want to. He doesn't take any pleasure in that. He says to us, what? Humble yourselves. Don't wait for me to do it. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. He doesn't want to bring us to the ground. He wants to lift us up. Man, I've been humbled by God a few times in my life. I wish I could go back over those days. I'm still suffering from some of those. I'll read this. Don't turn there. Jeremiah 49:16, thy terribleness, that word means awfulness, or awesomeness rather, it's the words change, just trust me here, thy awesomeness, what you think is awesome, you think you're awesome, thy terribleness hath deceived thee and the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill. Though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. Now the world's going to be filled with these kind of people in the last days, because prophecy's true. Paul didn't know it all 2,000 years ago when he wrote that. The Holy Spirit told him that in the last days there's going to be a bunch of proud people walking around the earth. And they're going to be defiled, and they're going to be deceived, because that's what happens to proud people. But he says to us, don't be like them. Don't be like them. Be transformed. Humility does the opposite. Humility makes us real. It makes us agree with God. It makes us clean. The deception and the delusion of our minds goes away, and we begin to live in reality. And we begin to enjoy reality. And we begin to constantly, as I mentioned before, think about God and about others. Now, let me ask you this. I know we'll never figure this out, but We'll just leave you with a good dream this morning. What would this world be like if everyone was humble? I was talking with some people this week that are here, and they asked me, Pastor, if you could change one thing in the world, what would you do? He said, I would change pride for humility. If I could do one thing to change this world, I would take everybody's pride and replace it with humility. What would this world be like if every person walking it on it was constantly thinking about two things, God and others? What would your marriage be like if husbands just thought about their wife? If wives just thought about their husband? What would your family be like if children just thought about mom and dad? If brothers just thought about their sisters, and sisters just thought about their brothers, and sisters thought about their sisters, and they existed in a family where they didn't think about themselves. What would your family be like? What would your church be like if everybody in the church just constantly thought about God and thought about others? Hey, how are you doing today? Is there anything in your life I can pray about right now? Is there anything I can do to help you? Can you imagine a world like that? I don't think we can, because we're so used to pride. We've been so defiled by pride, so deceived by pride. I don't think. Can you imagine how that would help in your neighborhood, at your place of work? Can you imagine how quickly all wars in the world would cease if every country just thought about God and thought about others? Yeah, that day's coming. Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And he's going to rule and reign in righteousness. And the tempter is going to be bound for 1,000 years. And you know what it's going to be like? The Bible says righteousness and peace. Righteousness and peace. Can you imagine? Well, we can't imagine, but why don't we try it? Why don't we just say to these prophecies, okay, the prophecies are there. They're going to be fulfilled. Let the world be that way, but I'm going to be different. I'm going to be humble. Our home, our marriage, is going to be two humble people living together. Our family is going to be parents and children, not fighting with each other, but thinking about each other, loving each other, caring about each other, being a team for God. Boy, if I could just change one thing in this world, I would take people's pride and replace it with humility, but I can't, but we can. God told us we can humble ourselves. Humility is modesty. Humility is a lowliness of mind. Humility is a deep sense of one's littleness. A deep sense. I'm just small. John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. Humility is the constant state of thinking about God and other people. That's what that word is, carved in wood up there. Think about that all year, the constant state. If I can get to the place where I'm just constantly thinking about God and thinking about other people. And by the way, the best day in your life will be the day you get as far away from yourself as possible. Because you're as ugly on the inside as I am. And the farther I can stay away from Art Cole, the more I enjoy life. Let's humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. And those being baptized can prepare. But it's time now, not, as I say often, it's not time to go home or get our Bibles or coats ready. It's time to respond to the Holy Spirit in two ways. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, to pray and to ask the Lord to help you to apply the sermon. Then second, if the Holy Spirit has not spoken to you, then I would encourage you to come too and say, Dear God, what's wrong with me? Is my mind or heart so hardened in pride that I don't hear your voice? Lord, change me, forgive me, help me, cleanse me. Please. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our Father, we pray for your blessing on this invitation time. We pray thy Holy Spirit would work. We pray that we would realize, as the sermon was today, that pride is the opposite of humility. Lord, you said that's the way it's going to be in the world. But you also said we are not of the world. We should be humble. And Lord, I think humility in every one of our lives will bring a little bit of heaven down. If a person is single and they just think about God and others, it'll bring some heaven to them. If two people are married, it'll bring some heaven to their marriage. Married with kids, it'll bring some heaven to their family, to our church, to our place of work, to our neighborhood, Lord, to our communities, to our country, to our world. Humility will bring some heaven down. Lord, help us to leave here and understand one point, that humility is the constant state of thinking about God and others. Please transform us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our blue hymn books and stand and sing 164, the all